Hallelujah. God's good. I'm glad He's good, because I need His goodness just like you need His goodness. Praise God. Well, go with me to Philippians 3 and verse 8. Of course, we'll do some review. This is part 2 of our series entitled Knowing God. And last week was a blessing. It was eye-opening to us about some things. And, you know, you just wish everybody would be just as hungry for it, because they don't know what they're missing and what could change their life. But anyways, you just keep going. Praise God. Philippians 3 and verse 8. Father, help us tonight. You know what needs to be said. You know what needs to be heard. So, Father, I trust You for the right words to say that people will hear, Father. Lord, utterance and boldness, things, Father, that You've already put on my heart that I know we're going to say, but special things, Father, things being added, things that need to be said, Father. We thank You for them. We crave these things. We long for these things. So, Father, I just thank You. As we get into the Word tonight, Father, I will speak as the oracles of God with boldness, with utterance, Father, impartations, revelation, encouragement, admonishment, correction if need be. But, Father, we just say this. We're going to hit the mark tonight. Whatever You have for us in this service, we're going to hit the mark. And so, Father, we give You the praise and we give You the glory for it all beforehand, because we know change is about to happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Philippians 3 and verse 8, Paul said this. He said, yes, and doubtless, he said, I count all things loss. That's pretty big statement. He says, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Kim, would you please pull that up in the Amplified, that verse? It's where we're getting kind of going forward with this. It says, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to. When someone like the Apostle Paul makes statements like that, like he made in Ephesians 6 where he said, above all, and then the next statement was taking the shield of faith. When he talking about the armor of God, but then he says above all, to me that's an asterisk. To me that's, pay attention, that there's something being highlighted here. I pay attention to that. When someone like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all, that's an asterisk to me. That's a highlight being shown on that verse that someone like Paul is saying, it's telling me, pay attention. Yeah. And when Paul says there's something that everything else is secondary to, everything else gets in line to this, to me, I think, I need to know what this is. I need to find out what it is, and I need to act like Paul, because Paul, he had pretty good success, you know. He says, I count everything as lost compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and here we go, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of progressively becoming, let's see here, progressively, next slide, Kim Lai, becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. So Paul says that everything else in life, every pursuit, every endeavor, every goal is all secondary to one thing. And that's knowing Christ or knowing God. In fact, he calls it, go back to the slide before, he calls it precious. He calls it priceless. But the thing that jumped out to me that the Holy Ghost arrested my spirit for this series was, he called it a supreme advantage. We know an advantage is something that gets you ahead of the game, gets you, puts you ahead of the competition, gives you a better chance to win, gives you a better chance to succeed. But this advantage, he calls it supreme. That means it's the highest advantage. Well, if it's true, if that's the highest advantage, you can see why Paul would say everything else is secondary. Everything else is, I don't care what's second, third, fourth, and fifth on the list. Number one on the list is I got to know Him. I got to know Him more. Well, it's a supreme advantage. And we saw in the Word last week, go back and look at this. We don't have time to re-preach this. But we saw that the Bible certainly backs that up, doesn't it? That there is an advantage to knowing God. And we said this from the beginning because we need to sweep pride right out of the room. People say, Pastor, I've been a Christian for so-and-so, and you're preaching on knowing God. I know God. But we found out some things, you know. People that know God are not stressed. People that know God are not fearful. People that know God are not worried, are not anxious, are not doubting, are not walking out of love, are not up in arms over things. And so if any of those things are there, you might have a little bit more knowing to do, because what we saw in the Word is that the Bible says that the supreme advantage of knowing Christ will lead to grace and peace being multiplied in your life. That it will lead to your faith being through the roof, right? It says it's because why? Knowledge is of God is where faith is birthed. But we also saw that the Bible says if you know God, that peace will be the result of it. People that truly know Him. Well, if you're out of peace, you might know of God and you might know some things about God, but if peace is the result of knowing Him and you're not walking in peace, that tells you there's more knowing that needs to be done. And we saw in Daniel 11:32, it says, they that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. So we saw it leads to grace and peace. It leads to faith. It leads to a life of complete peace. It leads to strength to do exploits. And to get into some of these things that the devil's trying to keep us out of, you're going to need strength. Those exploits are the promotions. The exploits are the furthering. The exploits are the going higher, the pushing through when the enemy is in the way. And Paul said, if you'll know God, this will be the result of it. And we saw, with that being said, we saw David, right? A great exploit that led into, it changed his whole life, his family's life forever, was the killing of Goliath. He didn't kill Goliath based on his war knowledge, his skill in battle, his equipment that he had. He killed Goliath based on one thing. He knew God. He knew God, knew what that meant. And so, you know, we saw a position of Elisha, the prophet. He's surrounded by an army. Well, he didn't get fearful, didn't get anxious, didn't get nervous like his servant did, right? All we saw was Elisha stayed faithful, stayed full of faith, no anxiety. Not because he could beat that army, not because he had bodyguards, not because he had an army at his disposal. He knew more than his servant did. His servant got nervous. Elisha didn't. Why? He knew some things. He said, open his eyes, Lord. Show him what I know. Praise God. And a lot of times people, they just don't know. Well, how do we know they don't know? Because Jesus told us in John 8:32, if you'll know something, the result will be freedom. Stress is not freedom. Anxiety is not freedom. Sickness is not freedom. The fear of the economy and the coronavirus and the election in 2020, stress over that, that's not freedom. You know, anxiousness over your finances, over your children, none of that's freedom. It's all bondage. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's what he said. He said, receive of me, receive the light and easy, praise God. And people will always say, you know, well, I'll receive the light and easy when such and such gets in line. Or, no, if you're waiting for everything to get in line, you're going to have to wait to get to heaven. Because everything will not be in line on earth. God never expected everything to be in line on earth. But he gave you the force of faith and his word to stay in peace and to navigate these things. Didn't he say, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your allies? No. In the presence of your heroes and your champions and your biggest fans? No. He says, I want you to sit down and dine at my table in the presence of your enemies when there's opposition. Because to get you to dine down there, there's always going to be opposition. Amen. So Jesus says, I want you to be light and easy. Didn't he say, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He didn't say be of good cheer because you'll never have tribulation. No, he said, you're going to have tribulation. Be in good cheer anyways. Well, how can we do this stuff? Well, we can be like the prophet and face an army. We can be like David and face a mountain of a man, a giant in our life, whatever that giant of finances, a giant of sickness, whatever it may be. And we can get through these things victoriously if we know God. If we can gain this supreme advantage, praise God. Hallelujah. So we're going to go forward in the next couple weeks. How can we know God more? Pastor, show us how to know God more. Because last week, I believe, was litmus test. It was kind of, you know, dipping our feet in the water, testing the waters to see maybe some things, lack of peace. Maybe there's exploits that need to be done that we know we have to go through that we're afraid of, or you know, our faith's not where it should be in a certain area. So we need to know him more. And if Paul needed to know him more, I'm just sorry to say, and hate to break the news to you. If the apostle Paul needed to know him more and says it's a lifelong pursuit, guess what? You haven't arrived yet. You're not there, and neither am I. Praise God. To the level, I'm not saying you don't know him at all, but there's a level of knowing him where the result is these things, this peace, this faith, this grace and peace. Hallelujah. Well, here we go. Go to Acts 17 and verse 26. Acts 17, verse 26. Now, the very first thing in getting to know him more, to the level where peace is the result. Again, we're not talking about just a head knowledge of God. And I'll talk about what that word knowing really means. I've preached on it before, but it was a revelation the Lord gave me that blessed me so much and made me see things in a different light. But I'm not talking about knowing of him. I'm not talking about you're not saved. That's not what I mean. I'm saying to the level where peace is the result no matter what. To the level where strength is the result no matter what. To the level where you have faith no matter what. And the no matter what is the circumstances. Amen? Hallelujah. And so the thing that you need to know, because the world's mentality, and even in the church's mentality, is one of this. Who can possibly know God? He's a mystery, right? Oh, the deep things of God, and how can we know him? And he's so far away, and he's on this level, and we're down here. And that's what the world will try to tell you, because that's the devil's promotion of it. Because when you feel that way, that God is some far out thing you can never understand, you'll never be able to grasp, you'll never be able to know, you won't pursue knowing him. What's the point? Amen? Hallelujah. What's the point? Glory to God. And in Acts chapter 17, in verse 26, I want to show you this. It says, "And he's made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all face of the earth, and has determined the times beforehand and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him." That means go after him. "And find him," and then notice this, "though he be not far from every one of us." Well, that shatters that idea. That shatters that religious idea that God's far away, that God can't have a relationship with him, that you can't know. No, he says, "I've set it up for you to seek me and find me." You know, when you play... I'll just put it this way. My dad, you know, was mischievous is the kindest way I can put it without, you know, having to repent later for bad words and stuff. But anyways, he's in heaven now, and I told the story how he hid my sister's Easter basket one year. She didn't find it for days after Easter. A little kid, a little girl. Put yourself in that position. I don't know about you, but I'm pumped to find my Easter basket when I'm little. Right? I'm pumped to find it. Why, there's candy in there. There's goodies in there. Sometimes there's toys in there. I'm pumped to find my Easter basket. Well, my sister's pumped to find her Easter basket, but my dad put it in somewhere. She didn't find it for days. Never even told her until she found it. And where he put it was in the dark recesses of the attic that was filled with bats. Well, no, she ain't going in there ever. He knew it, so I'm going to put it in there. He thought it was just the funniest thing on the earth. Well, when I hide my kids' Easter baskets, you know, Caleb gets a little bit harder, but I put them in places that, you know, I want them to have fun doing it, but to seek a little bit, but I want the goals for them to find it. And when it goes too long, I can't take it anymore. I feel bad. I just break down. Here it is, you know. Why? Because I want to find it. God is saying, I want to be found. I'm not hiding from you. I'm not the hide-and-seek God. I'm the show-and-tell God. Amen. You need to get that in your head. Glory to God. Now, go with me to Psalm 34 and verse 8. This is crucial in knowing him. Because you're going to see tonight, there is a pursuit that one must take up to know him. But if my pursuit, for example, if someone said, I want to have the pursuit of sit down and have dinner with President Trump in the Oval Office. How many of you know? You're wasting your time with that pursuit. You're not having dinner with the president in the Oval Office. And so how hard would somebody seek after that, knowing already it's absolutely impossible? And so many people have it in their minds that it's impossible to know God on the level that you know God, or to get to a place like this where Elisha was, or to get to a place like David was. That's hogwash. It's lies. God says, find me. I'm here. In Psalm 34 and verse 8, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, taste test me. Experience me. I don't want you to just have to look. I don't want you to have to just, you know, I don't want you to have to be the help that just makes it but doesn't get to eat it. No, no, I want you to experience me. That doesn't sound like a God that's hiding from you. That doesn't sound like God's trying to be distant. In fact, he gave you Jesus to bring you back to him. He said, you know what? There's a great divide between me and my people, the creation that I made. I think I need to put a bridge up there. They can't get from there to there. I'm going to put a bridge, and his name's Jesus. Glory to God. He was the bridge constructor. Glory to God. Go to Hebrews 4 and verse 16. What am I trying to do? Motivate you to pursue this. Why? I want your faith there. I want your peace to be there. I want grace and peace multiplied for you. Look at Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Look what he says. Come unto my throne. What's he saying? Here I am. I'm available. Find me. Hallelujah. And he says, there find a mercy and grace to help time of need. What do I always say about Hebrews 4:16? It's heaven's invitation. One time I was, well, someone had come up to me and said, why don't you come over to this party today? They invited me to the party. Well, the problem was it wasn't their party that they were throwing. But they said, why don't you come over to the party today? And I said, well, did people get invited to this party? Oh, yeah, they got invited, and it was by the person that was throwing the party. But it's okay, they won't mind that you come. Well, that might be true. I might have been overlooked or just something that the person didn't care if someone shows up. But from my perspective of not having the invitation, let me just say this to you people. Don't be that guy. You know who I'm talking about. No self-awareness at all. No, just, I'll show up without an invitation. I'm sure they want me there. My perspective was, I'm not pursuing that. I'm not going to that location. I don't know that I'm wanted there. I don't know that I'm welcome there. God is saying to you in Hebrews 4:16, you're welcome where I'm at. In fact, I'm asking you, come to this place. Amen. You need to get this in your heart. God's not far from you. He wants to be found and known. Because why? Knowing him is a supreme advantage. Oh, who can know him? We all can. He's inviting us to know him more. So number one, he wants to be known and found. Number two, are you ready? Go to Hebrews 11:6. Whether or not he's found and whether or not you get to know him is up to you. You know the cool thing about this is, you're going to see in these verses, you can know him as much or as little as you choose. If you want to know him, I love when utterance comes, it's fun to be a preacher when you get utterance. It's like, okay, I can say that. That's good. Thank you for filling my mouth with things. If you want to know him that to the level that you won't go bankrupt, you can know him to that level. If you want to know him to the level of, man, I sure just like to get my bills paid, you can know him to just that level. But there's a greater level of knowing him. You can know him to a level of financial freedom. You want to just know him to a level where that just doesn't flare up. That I can just take that minor pain. I just be happy. Just, you can know him to that level. You can know him to the level where I want no pain, but this medicine's okay and this therapy. You can know him to that level. Or you can know him to the level from head to toe, healed and whole. You can. You can know him on different levels, but the thing is, it's up to you. And the awesome, really cool thing about it is, it has nothing to do with being a minister. Has nothing to do with being a pastor. Has nothing to do with anything except being a child of God. Yeah. You can know him more than your pastor. You're not gonna. Because I'm not gonna let you catch me. I'm not gonna let you catch me. We can race together and run side by side and try to take the lead. But you can know him more than Brother Hagin. You can know him more than Pastor Nancy Dufresne. You can know him just as much as these people. Absolutely. I didn't get a special anointing of knowing him. I have to know him the same way you have to know him. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Of course, you have to have faith to come to him, because if you don't even believe he is, you won't come to him. But also, he says, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's not a rewarder of the ones that have reverend in front of their name. Oh my gosh, I know a lot of people with reverend in front of their name, and they don't know lick about anything. They don't have faith to, I mean, they couldn't get themselves out of a paper bag with their own faith. It's just true. They don't know God, right? They know the motions. They know how to sweet talk. They know how to manipulate, but they don't know God. Hallelujah. That's why I'm so thankful Pastor Michael said, sink or swim. Because he said, a lot of people will preach things, but they're just echoes, echoing other people's revelation. He said, I'm going to throw you in the deep end, and you're going to sink or swim, and then when you preach it, you're going to get out of it because you had to know some things. You had to get some places, right? And so we can all know him. And he says, if we'll diligently seek him, but my point is this, notice whose responsibility it is. It's ours. James 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Who's got to start the process? We do. We got to start the process. People say, where's God? He's never left. In fact, Acts 17, we looked at it, it says, he's not far from any of us. He's near unto us. The blood of Jesus made him near, the Bible says. But guess who starts the ball rolling? You start the ball rolling. Say, I know this, Pastor Mike. I know, but what I'm saying to you is this. If you really want what we talked about last week, grace and peace, faith, a life of peace, strength to do exploits, it takes knowing him. You can't know him without pursuing him. He doesn't pursue you in the sense that he'll let you be ignorant. He'll let you stay in the unknown category. He'll let you stay in the sick category. He'll let you stay in the broke category. He'll let you stay in the bondage category. But he says there's a knowing available that will lead to freedom. But you have to take the steps. Amen. You have to take the steps. So are you ready to start finding out how we can draw near to him? Now that we know he's not far, he's wants us to draw near. It's our job to draw near unto him. We're ready to go now. Let's find out how to draw near to him. Go to John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Hallelujah. John 1 and verse 1. This stuff will change your life. Praise God. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But notice this, and the Word was God. Now, many people have no revelation of this. That what? This and him in heaven are not different. Now, it looks different in a different format. But the reality of what's in this book and what's seated on the throne are the exact same thing. The exact same thing. What does it say over there in, I believe it's 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. One translation says, is God-breathed. This isn't man-made. God breathed it through man, and man penned what God said, but this is God here. And so many people have no revelation that this book and what it contains is the Father. This is the Master, praise God. Let me give you an example of what his word is. One time I was with Caleb in the woods. This was years ago when he was a lot smaller and just a little guy, you know, and with his big old puffy cheeks he had, and I think he still kind of has them, you know, but anyways, they were real puffy back then. And we were walking around the woods, and we're like in distance of talking, and you know, where he's safe, and I know the land, so I know there's nothing danger or anything like that. So we're walking, but he got a little bit ahead of me, and I wanted to see, not to scare him, not to mess with him. I just wanted to see what his reaction would be when he couldn't see me anymore. I just wanted to know how would he react if you know, I just was curious, you know, how it was going to be. So I stepped behind a big tree, and I'm peeking out, and I see him start to look, and you can see the panic start to get on his face because Dad's gone. So as soon as I saw that, I stepped out as if like nothing. Oh, buddy, I'm right here. Oh, and he just kept going about his business. Well, when I stepped out behind that tree, that was a demonstration to my son, I want to be found. I want you to know where I'm at. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to wander. I don't want you to be without me. I don't want you to be, because if I'm lost, he's navigating that by himself. I don't want you to have to do this on your own. When God gave us his word, it was a stepping out to the world saying, here I am. When I stepped out behind the tree, what was I saying to Caleb? Here I am, buddy. Because he's like, Dad, here I am. What am I doing? I'm stepping out and saying, here I am. When God gives us his word, it's a demonstration to the world of stepping out of the shadows and saying, hey, world, if you want to know who I am, here I am. The Bible is him, glory to God. The best and the most important and the strongest way that you can get to know him is through his word. Through his word. The word is a revelation of him. This is him. We just think it's his words on a page. No, it's the Father. Praise God. Now, here we go. So then how, with the word, how do we get to know him? Now again, not know of him, but get to a place, because we can ask ourselves, how well do we know him financially? How well do we know him? Am I at don't want to lose my house level? Am I at don't just want to be bankrupt? Don't want to just get fired? Am I at just let's just pay my bills level? Am I let's pay my bills a little left over, or are we at completely debt-free, funding the kingdom of God, being a huge blessing? What level are we at? What level are we at with our healing? What level are we at with peace and with our children? Because I'll tell you this, if you're not at full faith, and if you're not at full peace, you're not at the knowing that you could be at. Because he said the knowing at those levels results in peace. It results in faith. Hallelujah. Now, how does it work? Remember Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. Now, that word there, knowing the truth, when he said, if you know the truth in John 8:32, it's a Greek word that's the same Greek word found in Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. Turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. This stuff is so basic. This stuff is so redundant and repetitive over and over again. But you know why we have to repeat things over and over again? Because people just don't do it. It's true. And they pay the price for it. Luke 1 and verse 34. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be? Remember the angel said, you're going to have a baby. And she said, this is impossible. I've not known a man. She doesn't mean she doesn't know anybody that's a guy, like to know their name. It's talking about know intimately, a husband and a wife knowing. She says, I've not known a man. Now, what's interesting about that word know is it's the same word know in John 8:32. When Jesus said, if you would know the truth, it would set you free. Well, it's the same Greek word. Well, what happens from God's perspective and biblical perspective when a husband and a wife are married and they know each other the way Mary's talking about? God doesn't look at them as separate. God looks at them as one, right? So she's saying, I've not become one with the man. Because remember, when God says a husband and wife, it comes with it, they become one. And so when it talks about knowing the truth, it's knowing the word, on the level that a husband and wife will know each other in a marriage, which is what? Becoming one. That's what she's talking about there. Well, to become one with it means you're not your own anymore. You don't think like yourself. You don't talk like yourself. You are one with the book. Amen. Your thoughts are this. Your words are this. Your outlook is this. And now that begins to shine a light on some things. Because what will people say? It's kind of like the Jewish man that was asked, Pastor Nancy told the story, how is it that you and your people are so wealthy? And the Jewish, how did that happen? And the Jewish man said, I don't understand the question. She says, how is it that you, the minister was asking the Jewish person, how is it that your people are so blessed and so wealthy? And again, the Jewish person said, I don't understand the question. A third time asked, and then the Jewish person got a revelation, said, oh, I understand now. You're trying to separate me from being Jewish and my finances. She says, they come together. The Jewish person said, they're not separate. Because I'm a Jew, I'm also rich. Now, why do I say that? Well, the Bible says you are healed. The Bible says you are rich. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was already upon him. The Bible already says you're victorious. Okay, so the Bible says you're healed. The Bible says you're rich. The Bible says you're full of peace. The Bible says you're victorious. But have you become one with that word? What does it mean to become one with that word? I'm the healed of the Lord when your body says you're not. Say, is that how God does things? Well, it certainly is. He told the children of Israel that was their land before it ever was. He told Abraham, you're a father before it ever naturally was. God calleth those things which be not as though they are. But we calleth those things as they are because why? We haven't known the word yet. And that Jewish person was saying, you can't separate the two. And people will say, I'll become rich when the money, I'll become healed when the healing. No, no, no. If you were one with the word, you'd already know. You're already rich. You can't separate it. Just like I can't separate, I know the world's crazy and things, but you can't. I can't separate from, I'm a boy, I'm a male, that's just the way it is. Can't separate that. You can't separate this stuff. But the people that don't know the word have not become one with what God has said. God says you're victorious. God says you'll never fail. But what do? Take thoughts of failure, get worried. And why? We haven't become one with what he said. We haven't become intimate enough where this is now us. That's a knowing that sets people free. That's why Jesus said, if you knew the truth, wouldn't matter how sick you are in body, you already know you're healed. If you knew the truth about finances, if you knew the truth about your children, what I said, glory to God. You see, David, even though the natural said something, he knew something. He was intimate with that. I'm delivered from this giant. Before he ever was. Elisha, with that army surrounded them, no hope naturally, was one with that word that there's more that be with him. Hallelujah. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, and this is where we talk about drawing near unto him and diligently seeking him. There's only one way to get to this place. Do you know there's only one way? One way, I say one way, but it's filled with a couple different offshoots of that one way, and I'll explain what I mean. There's only one way to lose weight and to get into really good shape. It's not a pill. It's not even just stopping eating won't get you into good shape. To lose weight and to get a good, strong body, you know what it takes? Time. Consistency. Time and consistency of doing the right things. If there was a magic way to get muscles, oh, I'd have found it. I told you, that six-pack, it's eluding me. And I have not decided fully. I thought I had decided to fully give up the pursuit, but I don't know yet. But man, it sure seems like a big price to pay, I like barbecue chicken. with the sauce and all the stuff. I like all that stuff, you know. But time and consistency. The time and the consistency of what? Hard work, good eating. Hard work, good eating. Hard work, good eating. It's the only way you can get it. Remember the show The Biggest Loser? People that were extremely obese would go on that show and they would be with these trainers who, I mean, looked the part. I mean, they got muscles where you didn't even know there were muscles available, you know. And they're in shape, and they bring them to this house. And what do? They separate them. They control their food. They control how they work out, right? And what do they tell them? They work out as hard as they've ever worked out for after a week, and they eat good. And yeah, they might have lost some inches, but it doesn't show up in the mirror. It doesn't show up in the mirror for weeks. And it's tempting to quit. And what do they keep telling them? Just keep doing what I'm telling you. Just keep doing the right thing. Just keep doing the right thing. If there was a magic thing, they'd have got them there on the first night and said, okay, now let's just magically get you to this place. To get to the place where you are so intimately acquainted with the Word that you can be like David in the face of sheer destruction and defeat. In the place like Elisha was in the face of sheer impossibilities. And to be full of peace and faith and strength. You can't get there overnight. And you can't get there without putting in the time. And that's where so many people will never, ever get there. I don't have the time. Well, I'm sorry. I don't have the time to be sick. I don't have the time for my kids to be messed up. I don't have the time for my finances to be a wreck. That's what I don't have the time for. I do have the time and will make the time to put in. See, we become proficient at what we give ourselves to. That's the truth. I know so many people that go out with a bow and are shooting a deer in the butt and wounded them and missing them. It's like, how much did you shoot? Oh, I pulled my bow out a day before. As soon as spring turkey season ends, May 31st, I get my bow out and I shoot all summer long. Why? To get consistency. Because when the deer shows up, I don't want to think, okay, hold here. No. The only thing I want to think is, you're dead. It's the only thing I want to go through my head. You crossed the wrong path today. Not, okay, hold here. No, that's all June, July, and August. Get the muscle memory down. But what? Taking the time to practice to what? Become proficient when the animal shows up. And so many people, they want to be at this Brother Hagin faith, this Pastor Nancy faith. Oh, Pastor Mike, your testimony is financially and healing. I want to be there. I put the time in. I don't have the time. Well, I bet if we looked at your life, we could find some areas. And to honestly, just to tell you this, if you think it's going to come without sacrifice, you're fooling yourself. If you think it's just going to be easy and life's just going to lay down for you so you can pursue this, no. In fact, the devil probably try to ramp things up because he knows, keep them distracted. Amen. Go to 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. Is it worth it? Well, is it worth being free? Is it worth faith, grace, and peace, and strength to do exploits? Is that worth it to you? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1 and 19. Glory to God. He's faithful, isn't he? He's so faithful. Hallelujah. 2 Peter, I was just wanting to see if you knew. Not first. Come on. See, nobody shouted it out. So I'm trying to help you here. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. Now remember what the Bible says without taking time to turn there. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law, the word, shall not depart out of your mouth, but therein you shall meditate, how much? Day and night. And observe to do all according as written, then shall your way be made prosperous, and then shall you have good success. What's he saying? The prosperity and the success doesn't come until you put in the day and night time. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith cometh by having heard the word once. No. What's faith? Persuaded, convinced. Faith comes by hearing it and hearing. Sounds like Joshua 1:8. How do we become planted by the rivers of water? And whatever we do will prosper. Blessed are they which walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law they do meditate day and night. Proverbs 4 says, incline thine ear, attend to the word, incline thine ears to thy sayings, for they are life unto those that find them, health to the flesh. Oh, I want health to the flesh. Doesn't come until you get good attendance and inclination of your ear to the word. 1 Peter 1 and verse 19 says this. Now, the verses before, Peter's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration when he saw that happen with Jesus, the things that he got to see with his own eyes. He says, those things are good. He said, but you actually have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well. He said, you would do well in life if you would take heed unto it as a light that shines in a dark place. If we covered all the windows and all the cracks, turned off all the lights, and it was pitch black, and I stood up here with a lighter and lit it, our eyes would be fixated on that light standing out. That light would stand out in this room. He says, you would do well with this more sure word of prophecy if you would take heed unto it, pay attention to it, incline unto it, like a light that shines in a dark place. What's that mean? Laser beams. Staring at it. Fixing your eyes on it. Until something happens. What's he saying? Until the knowing happens. Until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. What's he saying? You give heed unto the word of God and pay attention to it until, because people say, to know him, how do I know him? How do I know? Well, I'm telling you, you spend time in his word to know him. What level of knowing are we talking about? Where this becomes your reality. I told you I was so gripped in the throes of condemnation. It took me a year. This was, oh my gosh, long time ago, long before I was pastoring in South Dayton. A year of listening to a pastor, Nancy, you know, just I've always just been so down on myself. Naturally tendency, you know, that suicide's a spirit. And there's familiar spirits, you know, and that's the one the devil likes to push with me. And I had given heed to that. You know, the Bible says that we give heed to those things, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, I was giving heed to that, and I was convinced, you know, I'm not worth it. This is, no, God's got nothing for me. I'm worthless in this life and everything. And I was in a place where it wasn't no fun, you know. And how did I get out of that? Well, I got out of it by listening to a message on condemnation over 1,000 times in 1 year, to the point where what he said in his word, one of those verses where he that's begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus. That was me. I just knew that was me now. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you hope, a future, an expected outcome. See, you know why people feel hopeless? Because Jeremiah 29:11, they don't know it. What's there to feel hopeless about when God says, I got great things for you, I'm going to prosper you and to bring you into great things? You feel hopeless. Why? You're not one with that. Well, how do you become one with it? How do you get to the place where no matter what your body's saying, where you could be like Pastor Mike walking down Trask Road in Lakewood, New York with my dog, preaching my healing testimony when I didn't even know this. I still had a year to go before it was even going to get better, but I'm preaching my healing testimony with full persuasion that this is going to come to pass. Why? I became one with the word. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm rich, therefore money comes to me. Even when you're broke, can't pay your bills. How do you get there? You take heed unto it until the day star rises in your heart. What's that mean? All of a sudden, something's birthed in you, and you know that you know. To a lesser degree, I was putting together a tree stand. Don't try to put together a ladder stand. There's more nuts and bolts and pieces to that thing. It's like, what did I get myself into? And I'm not mechanical. And there was one part, and the directions they look at, they show you, you need to have Superman x-ray vision to see what picture is that? What are they doing there? And I couldn't figure it out. And I kept reading it. Kept reading it. Kept reading it. Kept giving heed to it. Kept giving heed to it. Kept giving heed to it. Bam. All of a sudden I knew. Oh, You put that down here and change that up there, and then it all worked. It's the same thing. I gave heed unto the condemnation message until something was born in my spirit. And I knew no longer am I worthless. I'm a child of the King. He's got a plan for me. Great things are ahead for me. You give heed to it till you know, don't matter what the doctors say, I'm healed. Don't matter what my checkbook says, I'm healed. That's when you know the Word. When you become that intimately acquainted with it. Amen? So if you want to know God more, the number one way to know Him is to give heed to this. Put the time in until the day star rises and you are absolutely convinced. Abraham got to the place where he was so persuaded. See, God kept telling him, you're a father. Till then he finally got, it doesn't matter that he has the revelation. You have to have the revelation. And Abraham finally got to the place where he's like, I'm a dad. I'm a dad. Start buying nursery furniture, Sarah. Start getting ready for a baby. I'm a dad. I'm a dad. Glory to God. Why? He became one with that Word. He gave heed to it. Not until it showed up. Because it doesn't show up until it becomes real to you on the inside. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you were helped tonight. It's simple stuff, but will you do it? And again, how do I know I need to do it? You're still worried about your finances. You're still worried about that situation. You're still worried about that thing. You're still stressed about your body. You're still nervous. You're still, there's lack of peace there. That's how you know you got room for more knowing. Amen? Because if you knew the truth, you'd be set free. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word tonight. We're grateful for this. Well, I know we've said these things and shared these things over and over again, but Father, I remember the person that came to me probably about half a year ago now and said, it was before the coronavirus. I said, Pastor Mike, I finally did what you said. I've heard you say it for years. Time in the Word, time in the Word, time in the Word, time in the Word. And I did. I made adjustments. Found out the areas of my life where I was worried, nervous, out of order, you know, chaos, confused, wandering. And I gave heed to it until things started being birthed on the inside of me. And oh, I'll tell you, it's a sweet day. Just like when I found out how to put that piece together on that tree stand. When you know that you know, when you know that you're healed, and it doesn't matter what the doctor, you are free. That's freedom. When you know you're blessed, even when you just lose your job and you don't have money come in, but you know you can't go under, that's freedom. It's not, yeah, that's good, Holy Ghost. It's not freedom when your life and happiness is dictated by the natural circumstances, because those things always change. You'll never be truly happy because you never know when it's going to change. So you're always, when's the shoe going to fall? I don't care when the shoe falls. I already have an answer. Praise God. I'm already healed. I'm already rich. I'm already blessed. I already have my final outcome. Praise God. Father, I pray this would be branded in each person's heart. Father, that they would go to the lengths of pursuing to know you by giving heed to your Word until they get revelation and the freedom comes, Father. We thank you. That's what's available to us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your Word. We love you tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Everybody that's watching online and everybody that's in this room right now, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, the answer is yes. And it's not because I go to church, it's not because I'm a pastor, it's not because I've done good things and they outweigh my bad things. No, in fact, my bad things are right up there, you know. I had a lot of years of bad things, but Jesus is the reason. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, let's get all that out of the way. Let's get you to receive him tonight. You're not becoming a member of this church. You're not signing up for this. You're just receiving the free gift that he gave you. The only qualification it takes to start this process is that you can say, I believe in him. I'm not saying with your head, but with your heart. In your heart of hearts, you say, I believe in Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I won't embarrass you, won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. We're not trying to embarrass you, but if you're here tonight and you want to receive Jesus and know for sure you're going to heaven, I mean, get off that fence of eternity. That's a place, bad place to be. And you want to receive Jesus tonight, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody that wants to receive him? Don't let this night pass you by. I'll have you put your hand right back down. I'm not going to call you out. Anybody want to receive the Lord before we close? Just lift your hand high in the air. Father, I don't see any hands here, and I obviously can't see if there were any hands online now or in the future, but thankfully it has nothing to do with the raising of the hand or not. In fact, I probably would have been a person that wouldn't have raised my hand. I was shy, things like that. But anyways, if you're here tonight or you're watching on live stream, you say, Pastor, you were talking about me. I have not made Jesus my Lord and Savior. I've not asked him into my heart, but I want to. Well, let me tell you something. When we close this service, get alone with him and do what Romans 10 verse 9 says. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And all it does is, Romans 10 9 is the template. It's the outline to get saved. It just sounds like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart, and I make you my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that, he'll come in. God will forgive you. God will become a father to you. Let us know. Give me an email. Give me a phone call. The information's in that welcome card there or online. And let me know. We'll get you set up. God's got blessings for you. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to heaven and praise him tonight. Father, we love you and glorify you. We praise you and magnify you and bless you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father, and glorify you. Yeah, Amy, will you stand right at the platform right there, Amy Smith? Will you stand there? Jeff, just stand behind her. I was minding my own business and just praying. And this is what the Lord said. An unexpected financial increase of blessing is coming to you. And it will be something that you didn't expect, but it's coming. It's going to be good and it's going to be big in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Receive it. Let's thank him for it. Thank you, Father. You watch. It'll come to pass. When these things come to me, you know, I try to get rid of them in the sense that I like to double check and double check and double check and double check, and it just can't leave my spirit. It's because it's in there. It's from him. An unexpected financial blessing of increase is coming your way. It's going to be unexpected. Yeah. Call that in. Glory to God. That's his will. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. Bless you. Bless you. Hallelujah. We praise Hallelujah. You, Jesus. You're faithful. Thank you, Jesus. You're faithful, Jesus. We love you and glorify you. Father, thank you for helping us tonight, Lord. Is there anything else you want to do? We love you. We're so grateful, so thankful. So grateful and so thankful for all that you've done for us, all that you've given. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave, don't forget, we have Wednesday service in South Dade. And also the kids, we're going to bless them this week instead of next week. So, Miss Julie, if you'd go to the back there and receive the kids, that'd be a blessing. Don't forget to put your offerings in as you leave. We love you. Appreciate you. See you next Saturday. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, come on forward.